Hey, yo, we about to tear it up.
Yo. Break for break, break for break it down.
This right here is how we do it. Break it down.
It's the Breaking Atoms podcast. We break things down to the very last compound. My name is Sumit, a.k.a. Hove.
And my name is Chris Mitchell, a.k.a. I don't know, man.
I threw you off with it, didn't you? You weren't expecting it. You were expecting failed Homo sapien, you know, putting him out of the cell.
I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
Come on, man. We just call you Brooklyn's finest, right?
You can do that. You can do that. Yeah.
We just call you Brooklyn's finest.
Yeah. All right, I'll take it, man. AKA Brooklyn's finest, man. Like,
what?
That's me, bruv. You know, two in one. What can I say?
Listen, we'll keep that. But hey, man, we've got a great episode. But before we get into the episode with evidence, we should just say congratulations to you, bro, and to everyone at Breaking Atoms for an incredible series of Brooklyn's finest.
Same to you, bro.
Our first original podcast, which has done some bits. And it's really good that we have to follow on from that, an absolute certifiable legend in hip hop. And as we said in the intro to evidence, someone that we've, you know, grown up on as in our childhood, we've grown up on evidence, and he's blessed us with so much. So we are very honored and proud to have him. So yeah, man, we've got to speak to evidence, bro. Remember, bucket list. You said it.
Bro, like,
you said it. I want evidence.
Evidence. Yeah, every time I listen to Expansion Team before Live on Stage, he goes, coming to the stage, Rocker Era Science, evidence. I'm like, yeah.
But no, evidence has got an incredible new album coming out on Learning.
You know, it's out now.
By this point it's out. Yes, of course. Yes, sorry.
Man.
See,
come on now.
That's the thing about pre-recording. But he has an incredible album out right now. Shout out to Andy too. And whole Rhyme Sayers as well. Appreciate you. But this is an incredible project, man. Come on, man. This is, if you love evidence, and even if you don't listen to this, this is something you need to take in. There's some bars, there's some great beats. It's a work of art, man. So peace to evidence. I can't wait for people to hear this one, man.
Me too, man. Let's get to it, bruv. Let's get to it and out.
Absolutely. This is evidence.
Evidence.
Breaking Atoms. Breaking Atoms podcast. Check it out. It's another special episode of the Breaking Atoms podcast. We are in the presence of greatness. This is Bucket List, and I ain't gonna hide it and share it. When we first talked about Breaking Atoms, Chris said to me, yo, evidence. That was one of the top names. And I'm pleased and honored and humbled that we have Ev in the building with us today. Ev, how you doing, man?
I'm great. Thank you all for having me, for real, man. That's what's up.
Well, we do this stan thing where we salute our heroes, but not in the very stanny way. We don't go too extra. We just want to salute and give flowers to those while they're here. And you have no idea the joy you have given us for the music you have given throughout your whole career and you'll continue to do. You have to understand that has an impact on us because we live this culture as you do too.
For sure.
So this is very important to us. So we appreciate you. Congrats on the album. Unlearning is fire. And we will get into things. I'm not a musician by any stretch of the imagination. My AKA is the failed Homo sapien, right? So for you transitioning, I'm always, you know, curious to know about how does someone transition to album mode and what was the first song recorded and how did that set off the tone for the rest of the album?
First song for this album was the last song, Where Are We Going From Here? I've been performing that song for a few years now, two. And it would go over crazy because it would be the one time in my set where I got a lot of crazy. I just calm it down after like some bigger beat ever, and then I go into that without a explanation and no one knows it. And then there's a long intro and I just let it rock. And then I would do my rhyme. And when I was finished every time, it would be like applause, like a performance kind of applause, though different than the normal thing. So I felt like I was onto something with that. So I knew that song was special, and that kind of drove the narrative of the record sonically. It's produced by my friend, one of the illest, Seb, and he got two joints on here. He also did Shark Smell Blood, and he got just a crazy sound. Like, production wise, I'm super inspired by him. And yeah, I think with any album, once you kind of get one thing that you feel is maybe a little special or a little different than what you've done previous, it can excite you into building onto that.
Okay, interesting. Now, I'm looking in history, and someone that you roll with quite frequently, we see in the credits, we also credits people, is Van, Steven Vanasco. And yeah, given his history in making videos, how did you get him to go, right, I've left that career behind now, but I'm going to start doing videos again, and it's for you? I understand why, because you're a legend, but what was that conversation like to get him to do videos for you again, given his history, where he was like, I'm done with this now?
I met him through Instagram, you know, so when I met him, you know, we were shooting fucking sunsets, let's be honest, you know what I mean? Shit like that. And so, you know, he was good. He knew what to do with the camera. I liked the way he shot, and that was cool. And I met a bunch of people through Instagram who some played a part later in my life, like he did. But yeah, I got to know him for a while, and then just became somebody I started talking to more. My story is crazy with him, but I was thinking if there was anything previous, and there wasn't. There was the song I have, Throw It All Away, which was the first single for my last album. I was taking too long to make the album, and my friend Ian was over here. He produced Won't Give Up the Danger on the new album I have right now. And he was like, yo, you're just sitting on this song. Just go shoot a video for it and throw it out. Like, and he was like, it's going to rain tomorrow. And we're looking at the forecast. So I was like, dope. And he had been doing this shit called, I think it's called In the Streets, if I'm not mistaken, correct me, you can Google it or whatever. But he does shit where he finds musicians on the street and then records them, makes a beat out of it, and then goes back and gives them money for using it. And some guy shot it, who I like the way he did it. So I called the guy, and I was like, yo, it's going to be pouring fucking rain tomorrow. And he was like, I'll be there, bet. And so I wake up at 4:30 in the morning to get there for 6 a.m. to get ready, because it's going to be pouring and we need that first light. And he just didn't show up, man. He just flaked. And so I knew nobody else. So I called Steven Vanasco, and I was like, yo, I'm sitting here in the fucking rain. Will you come shoot this for me? And so that was the video. That was how we started. And we've just been doing a lot of videos since. It lets me be an extension of it, because we edit it together or sometimes. And yeah, I feel like we're both working on it.
Dope. So if I'm the MC guy, and when I listen to your stuff, you always get me thinking. On Shark Smell Blood, you said a lot of my traits come from Brooklyn.
And the way my shows are looking, I'm going to see a lot of booking. Did you catch the next line?
I did, yes. I just wanted you to just kind of clarify what you mean by that, because you're a California dude, even though you do get a lot of love on the East as well. What did you mean by that in particular?
I'll get to that. But after the next line, it was a playoff, you know, and the way things are looking, I'm going to see Central booking, which is...
That's I know. Classic. Yep. Big noise.
Deep shit. My family is from Brooklyn. Both parents are from Brooklyn. So I would go to, I'm an only kid, but for summer, for I think majority of elementary school and even into junior high school, I would spend my summers in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I just felt like it shaped me a lot of ways. I heard rap music, Run DMC in New York. It's different. It's different.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. More lyrics, though. Delay the time. Anything I'm not known for, I'm known for owning. I interpreted that as, you know, in terms of, I thought of influence. You know, sometimes people are very influential and they create styles, or they, you know, they may not be known for it, but they're the kind of creators and the originators of it. That's what I interpreted. That's the message I got from it. What did you mean when you wrote that?
There's certain things that certain people wanted me to do, maybe that maybe more ambitious, or maybe you want to rap like this, or you want me to make this kind of thing. And I'm just saying, even though I know maybe I could do some of that stuff, I'm like, I'm owning up to it, basically, you know, saying like, yo, I'm hearing you. I'll own that, you know, if that's what that means to you. But I'm still going to do it.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Straight to the point. Sumit, over to you.
So on Tailor-Made Suit, you speak of a friend kind of telling you not to be too personal in your lyrics, and vulnerability in rap, you know, sometimes it's kind of almost taboo. People, you know, veer away from it. Some people get criticized for it, for doing that or not doing that, for example. How did you get to a place where you felt open to being more vulnerable in your music?
That, you know, it started with death. My mom passed away. I tried to make a song for her and put it on our Dilated album, and it felt weird. And so then I said to myself, damn, I don't even have enough identity to where I can do that. You know, I could do it. Rocket and Babu were all for me putting that song on the record. There was no creative holdback. I just felt like this feels fucking weird. I was like, I want to make a solo record, you know, and that's what, that song is what made me do a solo record. So I was like, how can I be me more, you know? And so there was never any holdback, any compromise, anything. In a group sometimes, being different walks of life, different from different ages, different sides of town, we would find common themes that we could all agree on and rap about, you know, and wanted to be able to fall on my face or have success and find out. Really. So that was really what it was. So sometimes it's like, yo, like that dude was telling me, like, I know you feel bad for yourself, you know, and you should not feel bad for yourself. You should recognize you've gone through some shit, but you don't need to fucking keep, you know, a lot with that. And I was like, you're right about that. And then that threw me back because I was really coming with my heart because I was like, fuck, well, I'm writing that again. But that's true to my story right now. It's hard to pretend you're happy when you're not. And then eventually threw some of it and made it and kind of found a place where I felt like the pain is there, struggle is there, obvious up in a corner or asking for sympathy. I'm just, hey, we all been there, strength in that. And that's where I felt like I got to that place where I hope y'all tell me, because it's how it's the audience takes it. But I felt like it didn't, as you know, feel bad for me record.
No, it didn't. And I think it's important that you got as a creative, as a human period, you've got to do what you feel is right for you in that moment. Right. And I think what we have to do is get to a place where we don't enforce our or project our views onto people and their creativity, because that stifles that. From you being who you are, you will open up more doors, not only for yourself, but those who are listening. And like you said, it'll build strength on that. And dealing with any type of death, and I say any type of death, but from different people, whether it's a friend, personal member, you know, family member, distant cousin, whatever it is, it's very difficult and it has an impact on everyone. And so what we need to get to a place to is where we can be more vulnerable about all different things, not just about death, but who we are, what we're going through, because it can only build strength in all of us, but also help to get the music and the culture to thrive even more, because we have to be more vulnerable. If we don't talk to each other, how do we know what we're going through and how do we understand these things? Do you know what I'm saying? And so this is why it's so powerful. So thank you for that.
I see you've linked up with Mutant Academy a couple of times. So you worked with Grey Matter on the Lucy and Fly Anakin's on the album. I'm a big fan of Mutant Academy. How did you come across them?
Have Fly Anakin came through the crib by Twitter or whatever else, just follows, you know, hearing something I like from somebody and then clicking it, you know, and then going in, just what up, wow, okay, cool. And then building a relationship a little bit. Then you're in town, pull up and putting up a beat and he killing it. And I'm like, okay, it's dope, real. I like excited about things I just don't know about right away. And then when you meet the genuine and like solid people, it makes it all the more better, you know. And then Grey Matter coming through, him and I had a cool relationship prior to meeting, and then meeting him once again and dope. I just like creatives, and they kind of have a different mentality. It's from inside of town, country. Like people on this album or people who were here or might as well have been here if they didn't do it here. And so I have a full that's coming out with Fly Anakin that I produced both sides, put out, and just honest collaboration.
Yeah, but I sometimes think when things are different, there's this kind of this common ground you can meet, and the two worlds come together. That's always exciting for me.
I'm mailed in. It's real.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I can feel that. So yes, one of my favorite songs on the album.
we know you have an eye, an ear for music, MCing. You also have an eye for detail in photography. I'm quite interested to know if there's any kind of, I guess, something that complements each other. So having an eye in detail for photography and an ear for detail as a producer and how that complements each other, because there's something visionary about those things, right? You can see a framing, you can see how a song will work. How do they complement each other and how have you developed? How does one help the other to be better?
In any way that art does, you know, the same way painting would or anything else, you know, there's an idea and then execution and then maybe touching it up and same shit for everything. But the what's so important to me is the visual aspect of music. As I came up on the UMTV Raps era or Rap City era. And in that time, I got to hear a lot of songs for the first time while I was watching the song. And so that really changed narrative of it. It didn't allow me to wander. It told me and informed me immediately, clothes you're wearing, dance you're doing, what your people look like, what your city looks like, and so much more powerful than just audio. And so for me, then it can really, really sell a song if it's good.
How do you feel about, I guess, what moods are you into using the MPC versus the ASR10?
The MPC is right here right now. That's had the ASR up a couple of days ago. And now it's back on the wall. Standing,
it's back on the wall,
somewhere.
Too, yeah.
You can see it. I don't know. I'm in love with the sound of the ASR, and I hate everything else about it. So it's like, if I'm using it now, I know the 3000 is the best sounding MPC. I really like the 2000 XL sound, but I didn't like the functions of it. So it was discouraging to me. And then I got the 2500. Which I like the sound the least, but I love the functions of it. So you just can't have it all. That's what it's what they're telling me, basically.
It's how they make it to keep making you buy the new one or the new version.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Mr. Evidence, I want to time travel for a bit as a fan. I want to take you back to when I first heard you. One of my all-time favorite hip-hop albums, like Bury Me With My Copy, and I mean this, Focus Daily by Da Far Eye. That album is incredible. And when I heard, I didn't know it was you at the time, when I heard this person say, "I'll come whack when LL loses the hat, better yet catch me with feds when Jordan grows dreads," I was like, oh my days, who is that? Then I found out it was you.
LL took off the hat though, so that shit is all fucked up.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Like, Mr. Michael Jordan has not grown dreads. No, he never will. So the line still applies.
Yeah.
It still applies. But no, I love that album. It means a lot to me. And you're heavily involved in it. Like, you produced more than half of it. Have you got any memories from the Focus Daily sessions? And what does that album mean to you in terms of your discography?
That was huge for me. And we made really good stuff right off the bat. The Bionic record, which we made first, was the first ABB release, which set off Da Far Eye going to Tommy Boy, Dilated Peoples later going to Capitol, Little Brother going to Atlantic. Like, ABB was, you know, that was the first release, you know? And so we set it off. And then we had Da Far Eye on Dilated Peoples' first single, Third Degree. So a lot of people thought he was in our group because the first single we came out was a feature on. And so, yeah, he was like fun to just right off the bat, like part of everything. And then for him to get the deal with Tommy Boy and to trust me, you know, like with decisions when I really didn't know what I was doing technically, but my ear was still guiding me and let me run with that shit. And, you know, also the guy who produced the demo also still gets hired to get money when he gets the record deal. That side of it too, like, came through. I bought a BMW like in full, you know, like some, like, you know, early shit, you know, like exciting. And then also got to mix in big studios and fly to New York and work with Tom Coyne and learn mastering, and huge lesson. And a moment. Yeah.
I love the album. It means a lot to me.
Tom Coyne, bro. Tom Coyne, man. What a legend. Legend. He did so much. Like, he mixed and mastered so much music, not even just rap music, but just generally music in general. He was prolific, man. That's crazy. We're from the UK. you have an ear. Any artists from the UK that are catching your ear at the moment in the evidence world? Anyone you like from the UK?
I like Millions.
You have got you've got Murkage Dave on the album. That was an interesting feature.
Yeah, that was I was looking for something to do. So I asked Slug from Atmosphere, "What should give me advice? What should I do here?" And he led me to him, which was crazy. And I sent him a Twitter DM, not even Instagram, just Twitter. And he came to my show at Jazz Cafe. He turned out to be a solid dude, man. Looked out for me. So I owe him some beats now.
Okay. Yeah. We need to hear that. Evidence, we're not going to keep you too much longer because we know you're busy, but I've got one last question to ask you.
Yeah.
Can you give me, I know we've had it's been a really interesting time in human history, particularly in the last couple of years. And can you give me one example of something that you've had to unlearn as an artist during this period? It could just even be a moment where you say, you know what? I didn't see it like that. I'm going to do this from now on.
Keep the first take more. I always do the first take and then re-kick it and re-kick it. And I end up performing it, you know? So just going to end up keeping the first one.
Okay, keeping it raw, keeping that spontaneous energy. Yeah, I'm the same. I always record, and then I end up going back to the first or second take anyway. So
we're on the same page. Let's go.
Yeah.
You think about it less. It comes from it's instinctive. You know what to do. And then if you go for the second, third take, sometimes you're overthinking it, and that little thing can change your inflection.
It's not supernatural anymore. It's just now it's something else.
It's a nice hip-hop reference too.
Dope. Evidence, man. We appreciate you. And like we said, man, you were one of the people we really wanted to speak to. One of my favorite hip-hop memories is when I was in a group with my guy and the promoter said, "You remind me of Dilated Peoples." I will never forget that. That was an official stamp for me, even though we were nowhere near as good as you. But we love you and we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank y'all for having me. I appreciate you so much. Honestly, let's go.
Peace to Evidence once again for blessing us, man. Yeah, we got in some nerdy talk, we got in some deep talk, and we got in some lyrics.
Evidence. So. You know what though? I'm not gonna lie. This new album is really impressive, man.
It is.
It's really impressive, and I think Evidence he's really racking up a discography in the culture where it's very serious.
Yeah.
Very serious. There's some amazing projects in there. There's a couple of classics in there, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Then you got to think about the stuff that he's just produced. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really not necessarily an Evidence project. Like, you know, we mentioned the Far Right.
Far Right, yeah.
Evidence is, he's special, man.
He's special. I agree. That I agree with. He is special. He's welcome back anytime. And we appreciate it, man. Honestly, you know, he's killing it with the photography, the music production, the lyrics. It's just, he's what we need in the culture. He's absolutely what we need in the culture. So,
man, like Evidence.
Exactly. Salute him. But you can follow us on social media at Break the Atoms, Twitter, Instagram. Chris's Instagram and Twitter is at I Am Kinetic. Mine's is at Hip Hop Chronicle. We appreciate all the fans from across the world for checking in. We appreciate you saluting you in supporting our Brooklyn's Finest documentary.
Seriously, people came out and supported us, man.
Yeah.
Never seen anything like that. And I've been doing music and podcasting for nearly, you know, a decade and a half. I've never seen anything like that, man. So yeah, we appreciate them because, you know, without them, we'd just be two guys talking in a mic.
That's right. That's absolutely true. So we salute you, appreciate you from wherever you are in the world. Thank you. Keep rocking with us. And until next time, peace.